This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We need to see the Jets go after Carson Wentz.
No, we don't.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Call Tom Brady right now. Call him right now. Call Tom Brady. Call Tom.
The Rich Eisen Show.
How are we back here again? How did this happen?
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Randy Moss, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. Coming up, ESPN college football and NFL analyst Robert Griffin III. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We have a couple of phone lines open. I'd like to see them lit up so we can have a great chat. We had a great chat last hour. Randy Moss zoomed in from a golf cart, said he could give us at least 15 more snaps in the National Football League if they're in the red zone. Or he said 20, and I'll give you 12 to 13 touchdowns.
GMs are working the
he
phone
said,
right
He
now.
Said he could still moss some people. I like it. Bruce Feldman came in studio, and we discussed the Deion Sanders phenomenon, which is evidenced by the fact that Bruce Feldman, who works for Fox Sports, is going to Boulder, Colorado this weekend for Colorado versus Colorado State, which does not kick off on Fox or until 10 p.m. Eastern time. And they're holding their pregame show from Boulder, Colorado. Now, that's the Deion effect. Holy smokes.
Is Deion and what he's doing in Colorado the number one story in sports?
Well, it was until Aaron Rodgers' Achilles went 75 seconds into the NFL
season. We've kind
NFL
of already
season.
Moved on from that almost.
That one's going to leave a mark for me for a while.
I understand, but the sports news cycle, I mean, but there's something Deion now, every single day.
Well, of course. Yes. I mean, it is as long as he keeps winning. So I would agree with that. Because, you know, Rodgers, we spoke about him nonstop from
months.
The minute the season ended to the minute he went into his darkness retreat and out of his darkness retreat, and he shows up on Pat's show and says, I'm intending to play for the Jets. And then he goes to the Jets, and then he gets out there, and his highlight is him coming out with the American flag at the beginning of the game because it was 9/11. And the spotlight following him and everybody going crazy. That was the highlight. Yep. And then he comes out. He runs for his dear life on one play. Gets it away. And then the next one. Done.
Crazy.
And, you know, Roger Goodell was on First Take today. And he was asked all about the turf stuff by Stephen A. We'll get to that in this hour. Also in this hour, Andy Reid has given an update on Travis Kelce and his readiness for this coming Sunday.
Oh, not about Taylor Swift.
That is correct, I imagine.
Oh,
can't wait for the song.
Interesting.
Yep. Because they had a bad summer.
Nice. Keep going. How many times can you do this?
If he's off the injured list, he would be Mr. Perfectly Fine.
Okay. Come on, man.
Okay.
You got two more in you.
Thankfully, Robert Griffin III is checked in.
Oh, okay. Look, I can see him laughing. Hey, come on, Robert, bring him this on. Up. Keep going. How many can you do?
How many Taylor Swift songs do you know, Robert? What do you got for me on that?
I know a couple.
I didn't think that's the way we'd start. Very good. Good to chat with you, Robert. Thanks for being here. You cover both sports. Is Deion the biggest story in sports right now, Robert? What do you think?
The biggest story in sports right now is Aaron Rodgers, right, and what's going on with the Jets. But college football-wise, Coach Prime is the biggest story. He's taking over the landscape, and I love it. I absolutely love it, Rich. Coach Prime's been great to me personally, but I think he's also great for college football because he's not lying to these kids. You know, he's not telling them what they want to hear. He's trying to grow and develop them and speaking life into them, and I think that's a good thing.
And so many coaches would be like, I'm not talking about Heisman trophies because I don't want to fill your head. I want to make your head too big. I'm not talking about, you know, stay off of this or that Instagram or anything. It's as a matter of fact, we're going to pretty much damn shoot our own reality series here. And he leans into it. He leans into all of that. And that's another reason why he separates himself, I think, Robert.
Yeah, it is. And Rich, I did his spring game with Chris Fowler, Colorado. You know, Fowler's a Colorado alum.
Yes.
And he told us, your cameras do not bother my players. And I'm like, I have no idea what he means by this. But he said, your cameras just have different initials. We shoot everything every single day so that our players are used to having that spotlight on them so that they always have to be on. And Rich, you know, it's very difficult to be on 24/7 in the TV business or in life in general. So his players are never, the moment's never too big for them because of production that they're shooting. You're right. He's used Colorado and Jackson State as his own company. And I think it's paying huge dividends.
How would you have responded when you were playing at Baylor if he was your coach? How would you have responded to that, do you think, Robert?
It was a different time back then. You know, when I went to Baylor, guys graduating early wasn't the norm. You know, I graduated January 11th and started school January 13th in 2008. So it was a different time back then. But I think the question you really have to ask is why do so many people dislike what Deion is doing? And I think it's simply because they can't recruit against him. How do you recruit against Coach Prime? You can't. There's maybe one guy, maybe two now with Kirby Smart, but maybe one or two guys, Kirby Smart and Nick Saban, that can out-recruit Deion Sanders to where if he walks into your house and sits in your living room, that you're going to be like, no, I don't want to go to Colorado. Or, no, I don't want to play for you, Coach Prime. I think everyone in the country wants to play for Coach Prime, especially after the first game against TCU and what they did against Nebraska this past week. We saw NFL players all over the place talk about how they want their siblings to go play for Coach Prime because they see what he's doing and what he's instilling into these young men, that it's okay to want more. It's okay to be flashy. It's okay to celebrate. It's okay to, quote unquote, read your press clippings as long as you back them up. That's where I think Deion is right now.
And then last one for you. Again, you're a perfect person to ask this question. Do you see Shador's game translating to the next level, Robert?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Shador's game is all predicated off of decision-making. Timing, anticipation, he has all of those things. And the one knock that people might try to say about him is his arm strength, but he still has years to develop that arm strength and continue for it to get stronger. I think he's already ahead of the game with anticipation and his timing. The arm strength will come. And from what he's done, I don't know why anybody ever doubted him. You know, they say he goes to Jackson State. He's at an HBCU as if that's some knock on him as a player. There are great players that attend HBCUs. The majority of our NFL lineage traces back to players that went to HBCUs. So his point about the only true difference between that level of football and Division I is the offensive lineman and defensive lineman. That has been a tale as old as time. People have always said that. But the skill position players at the HBCU level and the FBS level, there's enough of them to go around. So I think Shador is proving that not only are HBCU players capable of playing at the Division I level, they can excel.
Robert Griffin III joining us here from the worldwide leader in sports. What was it like being in MetLife Monday night, Robert?
Man, Rich, you know, I said this on First Take yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, the energy in the stadium before the game was unmatched. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. Aaron Rodgers had never played a snap for the New York Jets. He had his entire career in Green Bay, and it felt like every single Jets fan was locked in and in tune with this man and announced his name on the speaker. So to see that all dissipate in four plays was crushing, you know. And I'm a guy that I like to see everybody succeed. I want these guys to fulfill their dreams. And I know Aaron Rodgers wanted to go to New York and do something that Brett Favre couldn't. And to see it just go away like that, it was tough. So it made me think, Rich, what's next for Aaron Rodgers? Is he going to just call it a career? Is he going to ride off into the sunset? And I don't think that's what he's going to do. I think he's going to want to end his career on his own terms. I think he's going to fight this and prove that at 39, 40 years old, he can come back from an Achilles injury and he can go win a Super Bowl. Now, I don't know if that's all going to happen, but I know that's, I think that's what his mindset is going to be. I've even heard he's reaching out to people on Instagram in the DMs, asking them about advice about Achilles injury. So he's clearly focused on getting back out there.
Playing. Okay. And Zach Wilson is the guy now. I think that's apparent because at this point in time, I imagine the Jets called Brady, and I imagine the Jets kicked the tires with some Godfather offers for some legit, you know, quarterback starting elsewhere in the NFL. It's just too early. No teams are going to pull the plug on their locker room or their fan bases right now. So this is Zach Wilson's gig for at least a month, one would say, until maybe other teams get desperate. What do you think the odds are that he actually is a game manager that can get the Jets through this crucible, starting with Dallas on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, come on now, Rich. That Dallas game, that's a tough one to have your first start of the season. But when you bring all that up, I'm on TV with guys that are talking about they got to go trade for Matthew Stafford, and hey, let's pull Matt Ryan out of retirement. You know, go get Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees, or you know, even some people out there thought I was pitching myself to the Jets, which I wasn't pitching myself to the Jets. I was just saying there's guys out there who can play. None of us, myself included, are going to go in and be able to help the Jets beat the Cowboys more than Zach Wilson can. Any guy off the street or from any other team that they bring in is going to take at least a month, at least a month, to get acclimated to the system, to the team, the camaraderie. Because, Rich, football is more than just ability, right? We see Cam Newton's out there. Cam Newton and Colin Kaepernick, and I'm sure Carson Wentz, are better than some of the quarterbacks that are on teams right now. That's without a doubt. Whether you like them or not, they're top 64 quarterbacks in the world. They could be in the league. But they're not in the league because they can be somewhat of a distraction if you have a starter with a high-profile backup behind them. But none of those guys will help the Jets win this year. It's Zach Wilson's gig. The best thing that he can do is what he did last year when he was protecting the ball at certain points. Now, he has been a turnover. We all have that documented. If the defense comes up and shows up like it did and plays like a number one defense, the special teams is on point, all Zach Wilson has to do is not turn the ball over and be high percentage in the passing game. I saw Breece Hall, two carries for 109 yards. This team can still win. No one will say they're a Super Bowl contender because they don't believe in Zach Wilson, but I still believe that if they play the way they played against the Bills, which is a big ask, but if they play that way, they can still win the Super Bowl.
Well, and I saw the sequence on ESPN where folks were saying you were pitching yourself to the Jets. You were talking about how some executives had told you that they would actually consider bringing you in if it wasn't for the fact that the guy that you'd be backing up was either a bit shaky, and thus your presence there might cause some distractions, media maybe in the locker room, or in the fact that, you know, that you'd be there as a backup and not to get in there. And that's kind of where things would be unless they brought in Stafford, right? But executives basically did tell you that if you come in, that this might be an issue, so we're just not going to reach out to you? That happened, Robert?
No. So, Rich, first of all, yes, it was. And it was three executives, to be exact, for anybody out there that doubts me. Three executives talked to me and told me that they were in, but they believe because the guy that they had at the starting position, it would not be good for him because of the eyes that would be there. Now, Rich, I'm going to be honest with you. I told them, look at what I did with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. It was never a distraction, supported my guy, was there for him when he was the MVP of the league, unanimous MVP. Yeah. When we went on a tear there at Baltimore and ran for the most rushing yards in the dang galaxy, right? I talked to them about that. And they were honest. They said, we get that and we understand that, but our fans don't. We get that, we understand that, but our media doesn't get that. And that's an honest conversation that you can have when you're a player like myself at 33 years old who's now been doing TV for 2.5 years. There is no cookie cutter or, you know, beating around the bush. You get right straight to it. So I respected those GMs for talking to me in that way and letting me know what was up. But they also said, look, if one of our guys goes down, then, oh, for sure, we would make bringing you in mm-hmm. in that situation. So I was just trying to reiterate that, and not trying. That's exactly what I reiterated. And there were some, you know, Twitter trolls out there that want to cut pieces and edit them and try to make people look a certain type of way. But at the end of the day, the message is simple. Zach Wilson gives the Jets the best chance to win. No one else is going to come save the Jets. Mm-hmm. And if the Jets don't accept that, they should have never kept Zach Wilson on their roster. They should have never kept him on the roster if this exact moment was going to happen and they didn't have trust in him. They shouldn't have put him there. And I think they do have trust.
Yeah, because they have no other choice.
No other choice.
And that's part of the mourning process that I was going through on Monday night, with all due respect to Zach, is that I knew this was going to be right. the case. I knew this was the new reality after months of living in the what turned out to be fantasy world that Aaron Rodgers was going to play quarterback for the Jets this year. So that is the actual reality of it. So before I let you go, what's your concern level about Josh Allen, having seen what you saw on Monday night, Robert?
Yeah, Rich, but with Josh, I really do love Josh's game. And more times than not, he balances out the turnovers with spectacular plays, right? If he throws three picks, he throws four touchdowns. Or if he throws two picks, he throws five touchdowns, whatever it may be. But all offseason, this is all we talked about with Josh. Hey, you got to protect the ball. You got to protect your body. You got to play smarter football. And you got to get Stephon Diggs involved. Well, he did get Stephon Diggs involved. 100 yards receiving. That was awesome. But everything else, he threw caution to the wind. And honestly, for me, normally we see Josh make some questionable throws, but not quite as many as he had in the game against the Jets. He threw in a double covers twice deep down the field when he shouldn't have. On one of them, he actually had a tight end running down free down the sideline that he could have hit, who was still kind of covered but was one-on-one, which is more of an opportunity ball. But when you ask the specific question of what's my level of concern, I would just tell you to look at Josh Allen's face. Look at his face in the post-game presser. That didn't look like a guy that knew or had the solutions to the problem. He did accept the blame and say it was all on him for them losing the game, which I tip my hat to him for, not only because that's what you're supposed to do as a quarterback, but because it was the reality of the situation. But I do think that he needs to go in and just do some soul searching about when he needs to put on the cape and when he needs to take it off, because he's so used to being Superman, and I don't want this to take away his stinger, Rich. His stinger is his ability to make big-time plays, but he's got to stop hurting his team.
Well, and then, you know, Allen, as we all know, has been part of the Final Four in the AFC for a while, for a few years in a row. Burrow lost as well. You had Mahomes lose week one, and obviously Trevor Lawrence wins week one. It's Lawrence versus Mahomes this weekend. My last one for you, 1 week in, and I understand this is an overreaction, knee-jerk question, but why not? Won't hold you to it. Who do you think is the Final Four in the AFC now, after what you saw in week one, Robert?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, Rich, you want to put me on the spot, and I don't have an answer for that. Because, Joe Burrow has avoided a lot of criticism because of how bad Josh played. Right? Burrow had a terrible game. Mm-hmm. Worst completion percentage of his career. I think they were 2 for 15 on third downs. I mean, they looked atrocious. They couldn't protect him. And I'll go ahead and say this, Rich, because I said it before. I'm really afraid for Joe Burrow because there's a guy that was drafted before me named Andrew Luck, who got beat up in Indy for years. And he was a great, like, really great player. And his body was so beat up at the end of his career, he decided to just hang it up. He hung it up. And I don't want to see that happen to Joe Burrow, because he is getting the living crap beat out of him in the pocket. And I got the facts to back it up. Since 2021, he's been the second most hit quarterback inside the pocket. And I don't want to see Joe Burrow turn into Andrew Luck. That, to me, would be a travesty for Joe. It would be a travesty for the Bengals. And it'd be a travesty for the league, because this guy is so talented, man. So that would be my biggest concern. Right now, this is why I hate doing power rankings. I hate doing top five teams. We all have to do in this industry. I get it. Like, it's part of it. But when you look at the games, it's like, okay, so I guess the Rams, they must be one of the best teams in the league, because they completely dismantled the Seahawks. And I just don't know where to go with that. So I'm not going to give you my Final Four. I'm just going to continue to to just give my analysis, well done. And we'll see if they all land.
Well done. Way to stand tall, Robert Griffin.
Come on, and Robert, true to your play convictions.
No, he will not play the game. He will not play
Dolphins,
the game.
Dolphins, Bills, Chiefs.
Yeah. Who's your fourth?
Who's my fourth? Yeah. I don't know. There are no fourth. Yeah. NFC better than AFC.
Let me put it this way to you. The Chiefs lost to the Lions, right?
Yes.
But no one is going to sit here and like, oh, the Chiefs can't win at all. No one's going to say that. They lost without Chris Jones and without Travis Kelce. It's not an asterisk. So take that and kick it out the window.
Correct.
The Lions beat the Chiefs. It doesn't matter who was on the field.
Right.
They beat it. But I'm not here and say the Chiefs are done. No, they're 0-1. They lost. I get it. Let's wait a couple of weeks before we start making all these, you know, big statements about these teams. We don't know who these teams are right now.
Robert Griffin III, thanks for the time. I cherish our chats. Thanks again. We'll do this again soon and on Zoom. I greatly appreciate it. Good to see you.
Hey, it's good to see you guys this time on Zoom.
Finally.
Good job.
All right. That's Robert Griffin III, one of the best at the worldwide leader
thank
in sports
so much,
right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, very
bye-bye,
good.
Bye-bye.
Your microphone's on, Mike.
Oops, sorry.
The audio guy.
I just wanted to say goodbye to him.
That's I know.
You say goodbye to people. You're a nice guy.
I do that to everybody. I do that to everybody. I'm sorry.
You're very, very friendly.
Don't ever apologize for being courteous.
To our guests.
You should apologize for hitting the wrong button. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not paying attention.
Yeah, stuff like that you should apologize for.
But you should definitely pay attention.
Yeah. I pay attention
for some of your takes.
I'm a tough boss.
I'm going for the all-star team.
Did you see that, by the way, on I'll tell this as well, on X. Did you see that?
Rich, somebody stop.
On Twitter.
Thank you.
On social media, I think, or whatever.
X.
On social, somebody
X.
told this really heartbreaking story.
9/11 story?
Yeah. About how he was going to be on one of the Flight 93 and how a coworker called him and said, you should rebook your flight, pick to a different spot, even though he'd be giving up his first class seat and not flying direct.
Because it was easier to fly to a certain spot,
right? And all that stuff, and how he watched people board those planes that day, and it changed his life about totally changing everything and not getting caught up in the literal first class problem that he had on that plane that day. And then somebody said to him, what happened to your coworker? And he said, unfortunately, I had to fire her for poor performance eventually. Just like.
And then someone asked him again, and he was like, well, the reason I was going out here anyway was because of her performance, and we had to have a meeting.
Goodness
and it was just
gracious.
Like,
I don't know if there's anything that would basically like. No, you've got a job.
Yeah.
At any rate,
do your job.
That's why we have that sign in our bathroom.
It scared me the first time I saw it. I saw that for the first time yesterday.
What'd you think, Mike? Good sign,
I laughed
right?
the entire time I was in the bed.
Yeah, you're good. I'm glad.
And I did my job.
Now,
this you is, washed your hands, so that's the worst.
This is now an unfortunate turn of events on this program.
Why?
Why?
When we come back, Andy Reid giving us the latest on Travis Kelce.
And Taylor Swift.
No.
Oh.
Your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook. On October 5th, Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited. That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki.
Loki. Loki.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios' Loki Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
Would you be able to give an NFL team a good 15 scripted to start a game, Larry? Could you really do that? Really? You think so?
Not now.
What do you mean?
I would need to study it.
Okay.
I would need to, go down on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I would need to just talk to the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I would need to take a little course on it.
Mm-hmm.
then there's no doubt in my mind that I could do it.
What would you be? Would you be a passing offense, a running offense? What would you be? What would you be?
A lot of trickery. Yeah. It'd be a lot of trickery.
Playground style.
A lot of trickery.
A lot of trickery.
I would have, here's what I would be doing.
Yes.
I would be setting up the defense. Okay, I'm going like this, and now I'm coming back for the pass, okay? So I would do that a couple of times, and then the third time, I would go like this. I think I'm coming, and then zoom down. Zoom down.
And so that play's called the zoom down play?
That would be a zoom down, yeah.
So like double, triple, quadruple moves.
Yes, yeah, setting them up. Setting them up. I'd be setting up everybody. That's how I would plan my offense.
A lot of decoys, a lot of setups, a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Yes.
And then at some point there has to be a play that actually works.
There'd be many plays to work. They're being set up all over the place. They're not even gonna know what's going on. They're gonna be so confused. Come on, sounds good, right?
It does, yeah.
It sounds good.
You're hired.
Sounds good.
Larry David.
I'm available.
There you go. Larry David here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm available. Robert Saleh, I'm available.
There you go. So if Nathaniel Hackett needs help, there's a new offensive assistant for the New York Jets. One Larry David. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Travis Kelce in the news? Oof.
He's in the news, all right, Rich.
Uh-oh.
Not like Huey Lewis.
No.
But he's in the news. He did not play
in the opener.
What are you talking about?
I mean, he might be probably sort of, who knows, secretly dating Taylor Swift.
Well, what's that thing? He's quietly hanging out.
I don't know how two ridiculously famous people.
They're quietly hanging out.
Arguably the most famous person on the planet.
Is she going there for barbecue or something? Like going out for barbecue, a little dinner?
Who knows? Is she going to be in Jacksonville this weekend?
I don't know. Because with those two teams together, again, there's going to be some bad blood.
Do you have a list of Taylor Swift songs in front of you?
Nope.
You got Rich knows.
Nope.
I've
got children.
He's got children. He gets it. He knows.
The season began to end a cruel summer.
See? Rich, I'm sure he's heard them all.
We'll see if Travis does get back and shakes it off.
See?
You think those two are sitting around telling each other you belong to me?
Maybe.
Guys, keep going.
I'm not even.
Well, the question is Travis Kelce, after missing game one with a knee injury, is he going to miss this game, or is he Mr. Perfectly Fine?
Oh.
Done.
Andy Reid with the latest.
How about Travis? Update on Travis.
Yeah, I did the walkthrough, and then he's going to go out to practice today and do that. He's made progress. And, again, I'm just taking those guys, day by day, see how they're doing.
So he's practicing.
Or he's walking through.
No, if he's practicing, that's a good sign. Now, I know during my power rankings, I said if Jacksonville might win this game, if Travis Kelce plays, then it's a different story.
And look,
then you watch the offense just totally open up.
Andy Reid knows all too well what that offense would look like without Travis Kelce, so he's going to want him in there.
I know that. Certainly, with the way it looked, Kadarius Toney wound up being the anti-hero.
I want this to never end.
Do you think Travis Kelce might sit out the whole way to New Year's Day?
See, now he's got a list. He just looked at his computer. He has a list of names of Taylor Swift. He's the one who was invited to go to the Taylor Swift concert by Turzo and said no.
Why are you doing that? You're trying to make me the anti-hero right now.
He's too busy looking. I know all too well.
I don't. You guys are delicate.
No, okay.
Oh, God.
They're lovers. Okay.
See, look what you made me do.
Oh, my God.
All right.
We're out of the woods, people.
Thank you. Mahomes had this to say about what they're hoping to prove in Jacksonville on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you get your guys in there. You want to go out there and play with the guys that have put in the work and that go out there and execute and have played at a high level for a long time. But I think guys are ready to go. I mean, we didn't like how we played this last Thursday, and so I think guys are ready to get out there and kind of prove to everybody, even ourselves, who we really are.
There you go. Even ourselves want to prove to ourselves who we really are.
Interesting.
I like it.
All right.
Because that didn't sit well Thursday night, and then they sit back and they watch. But, hey, they watched two of the final four teams also lose from last year. Bills and Bengals. The Jaguars are the only team in the final four in the AFC to win. And then the AFC was supposed, that's supposed to be the team, the teams that, the, yeah. that,
well, that's
that the, housed the Super Bowl winner because how super, deep the AFC is.
That's the super hot take this week.
Is that the NFC better?
Is better than the AFC.
Well, wasn't that one of your overreaction Monday subjects?
Was it? No, it was that the week one was super sloppy.
Oh, okay, that's what it was.
Guys need to
it's
play
week
in the
one,
preseason.
Everybody.
No, no.
Calm down.
I'm sorry. It just left a blank space.
Hey, Chris. Chris, what color are the Chiefs jerseys?
Red.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh my God.
is that a Taylor Swift song?
It's an album.
Oh,
I don't know. Tell me, you've got the list in front of you, TJ.
I don't know what's in front of me.
I even know
cheater.
That.
You know,
I,
one thing I'll never apologize is not knowing more than two Taylor Swift songs. Right, so yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you were going to do another
I'm
one.
I'm fearless, right. But.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, you guys are idiots. You really are. I'm not getting into this.
Gary in East Meadow. What's up, Gary? What's going on,
How many
brother?
Taylor Swift songs do you know?
I want to talk about the Jets should sign Nick Foles.
Okay.
Oh. I think he'd be a perfect fit. He's obviously already in New Jersey, and, you know, he knows Joe Douglas.
Well yeah. Right, I'm with you. Right? Yes, you need some vet. I don't know, Tim Boyle. I mean, could you imagine the Jets are trying to win this game and they have a chance to win this game, but Zach runs himself out of bounds or doesn't run himself out of bounds, rather, and he gets blown up, and he's got to go in the blue tent, and out trots Tim Boyle.
I would almost guarantee that's going to happen.
I mean, if not, but if not this week against New England, and if not against New England against Kansas City, like this is a thin
going to happen.
Green line here, man.
That New England game—that's the last thing I want to see.
I'm with you, Gary. Gary, you were originally from New York.
Yes, I've been on Long Island my whole life.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. It's Gary in East Meadow, New York. I mean, way to hang in there all the time. That was a very jerky boys way to start. Hello?
He just got right into
it. I want Nick Foles and my glasses and my shoes.
So I have them.
I don't need to talk to you.
By the way, I saw
Sizzle
Chris,
Chest in East Meadow, New York. You're on the air.
That'll be back in the WFAN days. Right
there. All right. Jeff in Detroit. Let's get back to one of the originals. What's up, Jeff? How are you, sir?
Man, I feel like I'm joining a party for real, for real.
Is that a song by Taylor Swift, Jeff?
Nah. We know. Yeah, go for it.
I honestly believe that Mel Tucker isn't coming back. I got a little bit of inside information. State Trooper friend of mine, one thing that they love is those retirement gigs. He had one of the best ones working with the team, doing security. He literally do nothing. Then he moves, goes, start working for Roush. And after all of this stuff started coming out, I asked him, I said, you knew, didn't you? He told me, he said he doesn't know exactly what took place. He said, but the one thing you cannot do is mess around at Michigan State right now. Can't even.
Well, and it shouldn't be what, in all honesty, what happened with Larry Nassar either. Like, just every situation is its own, and obviously there's a feeling on campus there of the recent past that would make them have they should have zero tolerance for it, whether Larry Nassar happened or not. But, you know,
most definitely. I have a question for you guys.
Yes, sir.
4th and 22. First of all, big hug to you, Unc. You know, I was one of the biggest Aaron Rodgers haters, but, you know, I honestly believe, like the previous two guests that came on told you, you honestly can get to the Super Bowl. You, as long as Zach does what he's supposed to, you guys can get to the Super Bowl. 4th and 22, you got 16 seconds left on the clock, and the ball needs to go in the end zone. You got Megatron, Tyreek Hill, or Randy Moss.
Oh. There's honestly, and I'm taking Randy Moss. Is he the greatest ever in that, even more than Megatron, with all due respect to Detroit? Randy Moss.
When it comes down, when it comes down to the goal line situation, their prime, I mean,
jump ball. I mean, obviously, I'd take the taller receivers over Tyreek Hill.
But even though he goes up and gets it,
but
still.
There was never a segment you've been troned.
No one ever said you've been Johnson or Hill.
You know what?
You know. So, thank you very much, Jeff in Detroit.
You've been Tron.
Right. You couldn't say you've been Johnsoned. You know what I mean? Like, that's my filter in real time.
Shouldn't say that.
You got the list still open there?
Yeah, it was another. Did Rich drop another one that I didn't
know?
No. Oh,
I definitely, there's no.
I have no idea. I couldn't name one. One I have.
Man.
That's it.
Talk about new heights.
Man. Oh, God.
Good for you, Travis Kelce.
You guys.
Can't wait to listen to that pod today. I mean, I'm sure it comes up.
You think so?
I would imagine.
One brother would bring that up.
That's right.
Oh, man, you got it.
That's the older brother's job is to,
yeah. Is to do that.
Is to rib the younger brother for making headlines.
What's the rib? There's no ribbing. There's no rib.
Well, you know, Travis famously kind of shot his shot over the summer.
Right.
And then apparently got denied.
Well, but it seems like he didn't.
He's persistent.
Seems like on second down, he got the line again on second down.
Persistence works.
Troy from Michigan, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Troy? Tony, pardon me. I put my glasses on. I read it properly second time. What's up, Tony?
Yo, what's up, Rich? How you guys doing?
How are you, sir?
What do we got?
Last time I was on, I was way too much in love with Chris. I got to say what up to TJ and Mike.
Hey. What up, dude? Hey, what's up, Tony?
I thought it was hilarious. You've got Jets in your top 10, but not the Lions.
Yeah, I missed on that one. Tony, I missed on that one. I'd still keep the Jets in there. Their defense is fantastic. Their defense is championship quality. Their receivers are good to excellent, and their running backs are superb. I mean, if Breece Hall can go hit the house anytime, and Dalvin Cook is the other running back, good Lord, just make the first downs. But I'm sorry, Tony. I didn't mean to make that moment. I think you're right.
They're great. They're great, but you got to give the Lions some credit. They beat the Chiefs like I called, and they're about to play the Seahawks, who didn't look great. But anyway, I was kind of wondering what you think about Cooper Rush to the Jets.
Oh, gosh. I'll take him. As a backup, that would be good. I'll take him. I don't know. Let's see what Tim. I need to learn more about Tim Boyle. Maybe that's what I'll do overnight. That's what I do in my spare time. Thanks to the call, Tony, from Michigan and LA.
Later, Tony.
By the way, Chris, if you called into a show laying out all the places that you're from, but now you're in LA, how long would that? How the Chiron would need two screens,
for
right?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah. So I was born in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Then we moved to Erie. And I lived there until I was about two and a half.
Hold on a second. Let's start again.
So
you were born in Harrisburg.
Like Micah Parsons, also born in Harrisburg General Hospital.
Is that right?
Yeah. I told him that when he was here.
Two Lions.
Shout out Harrisburg.
So you were born in the east time zone, huh?
Harrisburg is East Coast. That's cool.
Okay.
That's not. So yeah, then we moved
Coast,
to Erie.
Right. He said it.
When I was an infant.
Yes.
And then we moved to Alaska for the first time. So that's Ketchikan, Alaska. Yeah. Then from there, we moved to Virginia, mm-hmm. Chincoteague, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
That was until about January of 1990. We moved back to Alaska, mm-hmm. same spot. Oof. Then in 93, we moved to Maine.
Yes.
And then I went to college in Syracuse. Then I went back to Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved out to Los Angeles in 2009.
So if you called into a show like Tony's like Tony from Michigan, and the, oh, no, I'm from L.A. I'm actually in L.A. right now, but he identified as Tony from Michigan. You would be Chris from Harrisburg, Erie, Alaska, Virginia, Maine, Syracuse in L.A.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if we could fit that on the screen.
Sorry, there was a brief like 2-month period. We lived at my grandparents' house in Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
Before we finally settled into our house in Maine. So mm-hmm. you can put Delaware in there too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You got it.
Let's take a break.
You ever live on Coney Island by chance?
Coney Island's in New York, no.
Good hot dogs here.
Another song.
Oh my God. Get off of the internet, man. Get off the internet. Ridiculous.
By the way, Tim Boyle played at Connecticut and Eastern Kentucky.
Oh, that's going to be great.
She has a song named Tim McGraw.
We'll be back in a moment.
That's her first big hit.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There is so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
All right, role playing. I'm the host of a show like the Rich Eisen Show.
Okay, great.
Well, that's easy. You're calling in.
Excellent.
All right, so call in.
Hey, I'd like to make a comment on the show.
Okay, who's calling?
This is Chris from Harrisburg, Erie, Alaska, Virginia, Alaska, Maine, Delaware, Maine, Syracuse. In Los Angeles.
Okay, well, look at the screen right there. We've got most of it. He wasn't looking.
There
it is. There it is. We didn't include the Delaware or the return trips.
Yeah. Great. That's awesome.
There it is. That's a long, long, long Chiron.
I love it.
we just did. Way to update it.
There you go. Updated.
Yeah. Well, you know, the return. So you returned to Alaska in between Virginia and Maine? Is that what it was?
Yeah. So we went to Alaska, Virginia, Alaska.
Maine, Delaware,
because it was literally, like, we stayed in a hotel for a little while.
No, we don't need that.
Then
that's
went back
much.
Down to Delaware to my grandparents' house, then back to Maine permanently, and then now I'm here.
In L.A.
Now I'm in Los Angeles.
Very good.
Were you in New York?
I never understood that from Tony. He's Tony in Los Angeles, but people don't want to be known. I'm not from Los Angeles. I'm from Michigan.
Right.
That would be like me calling up like Rich from Staten Island. That's where I'm from. That's where I was born and raised. Had a terrific childhood. I put the Gothels Bridge in my rearview mirror in 1990.
Yeah.
93.
Yes.
Okay.
When I drove to Chicago to start in my Honda to get to
there you go.
I mean, I used to say back school. Home a lot. Now I don't.
Oh, Susie refers to back home as New York City.
It's home now.
She refers to that. Going home.
30
to
years
New York.
Next year. I'm home.
Here in L.A.?
Yeah, 30.
I mean, we're from our kids
party.
Are from here.
I know that.
That's the way it goes.
They are
now.
L.A. kids.
You know what I mean? Like,
I
that's how it goes.
Know.
Yeah.
It's a cruel summer. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Second time you hear that one.
I'm done. Guys, back off.
I got 13 minutes. I'm not going to stop.
Back off.
I got to be honest with you. All you guys had to do was stay.
So we've got some sound bites. Which one are we going to go with first here, Hoskins? Dealer's choice. Okay, Robert Saleh on his quarterbacks. Here we go. Hit it.
You know, with Zach and Tim, those are our guys. They've been here from OTAs. All the nuance. You know, sometimes I look at it like it's not Madden in the sense that we can just plug and play anybody. You know, there's a lot of meetings, a lot of practices, a lot of nuance, a lot of understanding of why things are the way they are. That go into it. So just plugging and playing a quarterback, it's going to take time, whoever comes in this building, to figure out what we've done over the last 6-7 months and to create their identity within the system. So right now all of our attention are on Zach and Tim to get them ready to play football.
You know what's going to happen week 3? Bailey Zappi, Tim Boyle, Western Kentucky versus Eastern Kentucky. Let's go.
I mean, I hope not. But it would be a fun story. Fun game.
No, it would be unfun. Very unfun.
Whip it around.
Tim Boyle's from Hartford. He's from Hartford.
Cutting it up from Hartford.
He's a nutmeg stater.
Yeah, that's worst case total scenario. Not down,
dude.
If that happens,
I guess right now they're just not going to rush to do it. But let's get that ready list ready, Joe Douglas, and get somebody in here.
I'm a little shocked they're not going to bring a guy in.
Dude.
Seems like he's going to stick with at least 2 guys for this week.
Yeah. Why do I envision Randall Cobb running the wild Cobb offense at some point?
Don't even put it out there.
I don't even want to think about it.
Two quarterbacks.
Robert Saleh on whether he thinks Rodgers is now, in fact, done for good.
I haven't gone down that road with him. I mean, I'd be shocked if this is the way he's going to go out. But at the same time, for him, he's working through a whole lot of headspace things that he needs to deal with, and that will be the last thing I talk to him about.
Yeah, of course. So, Aaron, you know, I know this is as much of a shock to you as is as much a shock to all of us here, but you want to tell me about next year? What do you think?
Yeah, kind of early.
Before you have your surgery or whatever, it's the last thing he's going to talk to him about. Nobody knows until he probably goes on Pat's show and says, I'm not done. So, he can come on here and do that, by the way. Happy to have him.
I'm hoping Aaron, you know, wants the swelling and the surgery and all that stuff. I want to see him on the sideline. I really thought it was a great look for him throughout the Hard Knocks.
Oh, I think
seeing
you will.
Him
I
in
think
the preseason, kind of coaching Zach up and getting on the headset.
But right now, I mean, he's got to take care of himself.
That's what I mean. Here. So, yeah, yeah. You know, in a few weeks.
You can tell that team really responded to him through Hard Knocks. They look up to him. So I can't see why he wouldn't come back.
It's just a lot of time guys who are out for the season are not around the team. Like, yeah, no. You know, just take it back to 2008, Tom Brady, same situation, blows his knee out in the first game, and he's out for the whole season. He was not around that team that whole year.
He wasn't?
Well, we need him. We need Aaron Rodgers to be there.
That's the thing. Guys who are out for the year are not really around.
Jets need him. Jets could really use him. So could Zach Wilson. So could Nathaniel Hackett. Just all sorts of stuff like that. 1,000,000%.
And Rich, all the kneeling you aside, like, it does. It stinks. It stinks as a football fan.
I agree.
It stinks that this happened.
Can confirm.
You know.
Can confirm all of that. 75 seconds, 4 snaps. What the F? Josh Allen in that game threw 3 interceptions. And that last fumble I don't think is on him, but and he's taking it hard. This is what he had to say when asked today about doing too much, the dreaded do too much.
Third down situations, that's when things tend to speed up and just got to recognize that and, again, find the smart play. And, again, within the flow of that game, didn't have to be otherworldly, didn't have to be someone other than myself, and I was trying to do too much. And, again, a lot to learn from, and excited to get back out on the field and kind of wash that taste out of the mouth.
Yeah, then the Raiders are going to be on the receiving end of that. I'm so not worried about him. The doing too much, the dreaded doing too much, was supposed to be in the red zone. It was in the middle of the field.
It was in the whole zone.
I know. We used to I'll tell this story. When we went on Thursday Night Football a couple of years, we did not have our own stage manager for Thursday Night Football. The great Hall of Famer, Puma Nelson, who you know. And you know, too.
Yes.
I mean, one of the greats, humans, excellent at his job. It was someone else for some other reason, some other guy who would just hover and, you know, like rearrange your stuff on your desk to make sure that it was all set for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just constantly be there instead of on the sides, making sure everything was kosher and copacetic and set up for you
like a ball boy in tennis
and just on the sides, but then coming in when needed. It takes a certain sense of things, of yourself as well as of the on-air individuals on the set, to know when to get in, when to get out. And this stage manager never knew that. It was always in our way instead of trying to help us make our way. And there was somebody on our set who nicknamed him DTM for do too much. When you want to guess who that person on the set was who nicknamed this stage manager DTM?
Dion.
Bingo.
I know exactly.
DTM. Oh, here comes DTM. So man, I'm wondering if that's his coaching point to some of the Buffaloes. Don't be DTM.
I'll be doing too much.
Don't do too much.
Doing the most.
DTM.
Did you see the stat that since the week one last year, Josh Allen's played 19 games and he has 37 turnovers?
Dude, Favre made the Hall of Fame off stuff like that. For real. For real. So...
You're not worried about the Bills at all this week?
No. I'm not worried about the Bills at all this year. 1 week. And the Jets defense, I think, is going to prove to the guy I've been wearing a cape for, all year long, they're going to give Dak a long-ass day. And if you can't run on him, this whole newfangled offense that we're running with Pollard, we're running with Rico Dowdle, we're running, you know, Uncle Rico's running at you, they better be able to pick up yards. Like, Pollard best bring his big boy pants and his cowbell.
You think he's going to leave him?
If Zeke, I just saying.
Get your damn act together.
Pollard has not had to go against a front seven in a hard-hitting defense like this in his career as the bell cow. Period. End of story. And, you know, let's say CD and Sauce get locked up a lot.
It's going to be a good
What
battle.
Do we got here? Like, so the problem is when, you know,
you have
Zach
ball.
Runs out on the field.
And you have the ball.
Oh, hey, there's Tank.
That's it.
And there's
That's Micah. It, man. That's it. And the last thing I want is to see Zach in a tent in his own new darkness retreat. And Tim Boyle of Eastern Kentucky, you know, a Nutmeg State fame coming out there, and the Jets have a chance to win this one, and they were just like suddenly watching the Stone Age play out.
Zach and Tim Boyle. Huh? You know why it's even worse for you? You don't have a third quarterback, right?
No, I would love to have Trey Lance.
In that in that third quarterback spot, there's a blank space.
Well, boy.
I promise I'm done.
Randall Cobb.
I'm done.
That's who would have gotten out there on Monday night, because Tim Boyle was on the practice squad, because the Jets are like, why do we need a third quarterback? Yeah. Oh, because the Nards are going to get kicked again by the football gods. Four snaps, 75 seconds in. This has been a 75-second edition of the Rich Eisen Show. This Rich Eisen Show has been brought to you by the number 75, as in seconds of Rogers.
Sorry, folks.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.